The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the latest episode of the First and 10 podcast, brought to you by Blogging the Boys, powered by SB Nation. As always, Tony Catalina and Aiden Davis here to give you all the latest Cowboys news. Aiden Davis, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. I know I've talked about it on the show before, and I don't want to distract from this being a Cowboys podcast, but right now, as of this recording, it looks like the Texas Longhorns are going to advance to the Super Regional. I hope that this doesn't bite me, because we're up 9-4 right now, so things could change, but I'm doing well.
It could change drastically over the next 45 minutes, so we'll probably have to revisit that at the end of the show here. But speaking of like the college ranks, Are you getting excited for some college football? I saw this weekend that they were talking about some of the first week slate games kind of getting out there. I mean, when I saw that, I kind of got that like butterfly feeling, like, hey, we're a lot closer than we think. I started doing a Cowboys countdown. So I'm excited, man. I'm at that point now where like this stuff to talk about, it's not jam packed, but you know what? Like, I can kind of slowly, surely get us into season mode here.
I do think in about a week, 2 weeks, once the NBA, I guess it's 2 weeks, once the NBA final ends and once the Stanley Cup's over, like, this is the dog days. It's like, that's when I really start gearing up. Like, I'm consuming every type of football content because there is literally nothing to watch other than baseball, which, I mean, my Rangers are doing well right now, but that's not something that I can watch super closely. So yeah, we're officially entering the time where anything NFL related, I'll just have highlights on replay just because it's football.
You know what? I was actually talking to my wife, and I kind of got invested in it the last couple of weeks. And it's funny. I don't know how you feel about it or if you have ever tried it, but I'm fully like invested in the pickleball world right now. Have you ever played pickleball?
I saw the tweet of you playing pickleball. If we are ever together, we need to play pickleball. I love pickleball.
Okay.
And I know. Yeah. I mean, I'm a white guy who's post college, so like, I guess it's only natural that I pick up pickleball, but fair enough. I love it.
Yeah, I just started playing the last couple of weeks. I've been going, you know, I've been trying to go a couple of times. I've been like, and you know how TikTok works, it's all over my algorithm now, so like, I'm seeing nothing but pickleball, and it's working. Like, but I only mention that because this is like what I'm trying to like get me to football season now, right? Like, I'm so football centric. If I can find another sport that I enjoy that is new or unique to me, like, I'm so like obsessed about pickleball right now, and it'll probably take me until September.
No, it's a great sport. I highly recommend to anybody who's listening who has not tried pickleball. It does not take a lot of energy, but it is insanely fun.
Well, if you had to describe it, like the way I learned it or kind of thought of it, it was like, it's like a cross between ping pong and tennis, right? Like a smaller court tennis. It's fun. I mean, I'm totally sold into it. So
I saw a tweet yesterday that was like, it said something along the lines of pickleball is for people who enjoy tennis, but also for people who walk the mile in high school. And I thought that was kind of a apt description. Like, it doesn't take a lot, but it's still fun.
That's like, that describes me perfectly, because I said to my wife, I'm like, you know, like, what can we do that's active? I'm terrible at golf. Like, I'm a really bad golfer.
I'm so horrible.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, I don't golf as much as I probably should because I'm so bad, I'm, like, deterred by it. Like, so I'm like, I got to find a sport. What can me and my wife do together that is active? You can get outside. And we thought about tennis, but I'm like, tennis is, like, a whole thing. You know, it's, like, it's a big court. It's a lot. I'm like, you know what? Pickleball is, like, the perfect starter activity for me.
I've tried to have... Have you tried tennis? I'm just horrible at it. Like, I literally physically can't get it to, like, stay in the lines. I don't understand the physics behind how you get it over the net, but get it to land in the lines. I'm horrific at tennis.
It's tough. And, like, I always, you know, this isn't a pickleball podcast, but I see a lot of the guys who are good at tennis, like, end up going pro in pickleball and become, like, nasty. Like, they just switch sides and they're like, all right, we'll dominate this new sport. So I don't know. I mean, I'm hoping, you know, I can get some more fun, get a little exercise from it, but it's a good time. And speaking of good time is the Dallas Cowboys and Trayvon Diggs. Our first segment was something that we definitely wanted to get into. If you hadn't heard from it, I'm sure you have heard about it, but Trayvon Diggs and the Cowboys have started preliminary conversations about their, you know, getting his contract done, for lack of a better term. And, you know, if you look at all the conversation here, they say the market value for the top cornerbacks is around $20 million per year. You know, first question before we kind of get your initial thoughts, real simply, is he north or south of $20 million in your mind?
I think it's going to be slightly north, but I think that's a good projection. Like, I think Jerry just has a tendency to overpay players a little bit, especially players that are marquee. You can throw on the programs at the beginning of the season. And so I expect him to be like north of 20 million, but like we're talking about 21, 22 a year, maybe.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, if you're paying a top NFL cornerback, I have no problem with that.
Yeah, that's like, it's easy when you get the benchmarks of what people are making. So it's kind of, you can kind of tip your hand what you think, but I won't put you on the spot unless you have a contract in mind. But I'm thinking 4 years, $88 million is probably what he'll end up with. That's just my guess. Yeah. And 22 a year annually. And I think he's worth it. And I think that would be a good move for both parties involved.
Yeah, I saw some, like, there's some, I don't know how, like, I haven't looked to see how accurate it is, but there's some, like, Twitter account that does a pretty good job, at least in my mind, of projecting salaries. They had him at, I think it was 4 years, $81 million. So yeah, that would be like literally just north of $20 million. And like, when you're, here's the thing, you're going to have to pay Parsons eventually. You're going to have to pay CeeDee Lamb. And that's why I think we've both been talking about, like, 2023 is a season where if the Cowboys wanted to go all in, they should, because I mean, we're going to start talking about some very big contracts coming up, and it's going to make it real difficult to sign players in the offseason.
Yeah. And so I'll ask you this simply. Do you think he gets done before the season starts?
Oh, I don't think so. That's not the Jerry way. Jerry likes to prolong it. No, I don't. I mean, it wouldn't shock me. I would, if it was just one of those things that we just wake up to on like a random Wednesday morning in July that they've agreed to a contract. But my thing is they're at the same time, they're also probably negotiating with CeeDee Lamb at this point. Like, if they're talking to Trayvon, I would be shocked if they weren't also talking to CeeDee's people at the same time. And so I expect this to drag out a little bit because of the fact that they're going to be balancing both, as well as making sure that both contracts are feasible in the long term.
Yeah. And that's, so it's funny you mentioned that, because that was part of my point that I was going to bring up. Like, I think it does get done because of the, you know, the sounds we're hearing on the internet, right? Like, usually with the Cowboys, they're very, like, loose lips about things when it comes to contracts. Like, you kind of know what the Cowboys are thinking. It's usually leaked into the media. So the fact that Trayvon Diggs specifically is getting talked about is interesting to me. And so I do think there's a chance it gets done, but then that to me begs the question, or the next question I'll ask you that pivots off of this is, like, would you have gotten CeeDee done first or Trayvon done first? Because right now at this point, it's, I mean, they're both due.
Yeah, they're absolutely both due. This is to me a very easy answer. To me, it's absolutely 100% CeeDee's contract should get done first. And the sole reason is because Justin Jefferson's coming up for a contract. T. Higgins is coming up for a contract. In another year, Ja'Marr Chase is going to be up for a contract. And so these are, if you start, like, if the Justin Jefferson contract comes out, it's going to be we're probably talking about 26, 27, 28 million. Like, it's going to be a massive contract because you're paying the best wide receiver in football who's still young. And so you don't want to be following that contract because although CD's not as good as Justin Jefferson, he's close enough to where I think his agents are going to be. If that Justin Jefferson contract comes out, do you think his agents are going to, like, the agents, CD's agents are going to say beat it because
that's
we're
what
next
they'll
up?
Ask for. I think that's what they'll ask for, but I don't know. Like, yeah, you want to beat the Justin Jefferson clock, in my opinion, for that. But at the same time, I don't know how disrespectful they want to get. But if Justin Jefferson makes X and they ask for it, I would just be like, no. You know what I mean? If I'm the Cowboys, like, Justin Jefferson. He may be a step below, but, and that's no disrespect. I think a lot of people have a lot of respect for Justin Jefferson, but you're right. I think Justin Jefferson's rooting for people to get this contract because then that's only going to push him up. So I am a little, not confused, but a little surprised that we're hearing so much about Diggs rather than CD at this juncture.
I agree. And like I mentioned also, I'm kind of alluded to this point. I'm 100% on board with you. CD is not Justin Jefferson. No receiver in the NFL right now is Justin Jefferson. But I do think, like, it's just the way contracts go. Like, if Justin Jefferson gets his contract and let's say it's $27 million, I have a hard time believing that CD's people are gonna be like, okay, we know CD's not as good as Justin Jefferson. We'll take less money. It's just like, yeah, when Dak got his contract, he wasn't the best quarterback in the NFL, but he got paid the most just because that's how quarterback contracts work, and it's similar with receiver contracts. So I wouldn't be surprised if CD's people make them beat the Jefferson offer if they have to follow.
You remember, this is years ago, but do you remember when Dez Bryant got paid and then Demaryius Thomas got like $100,000 more like two hours later?
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
So it's, I mean, we've seen this, we know this, and it's highly possible we could be in that type of situation.
Receivers are the most interesting players on any football team. And to, like, just if you're following their tweets, if you're following like what they're saying to the media, they're very interesting people, very weird people, and very petty people. And receivers want to get paid. And yeah, CD's going to want to get paid.
Let me ask you, staying on the cornerback Trayvon Diggs conversation, I wrote an article or kind of a think piece about Pro Football Focus, put it together, a top 10 cornerbacks list.
Yep.
And they had Stephon Gilmore and Trayvon Diggs on both that list. Interestingly enough, and I think it was Sam Munson from Pro Football Focus to put it together. I know that Pro Football Focus and Trayvon Diggs have like a weird history, but but were you as surprised as I was about the fact that he had Gilmore above Diggs? Because I don't think anybody in Dallas actually believes that to be true.
I see. Here's my thing. When the list came out, I wasn't surprised about where they put Diggs. Like, what, Diggs was 8, right?
Yeah, I think he was like, yeah, he's like 7 or 8. And but like Gilmore's like 3 or 4 higher than him.
Yeah, I think. Yeah. So to me, like, Diggs being at 8, I don't hate that. Like, I recognize, like, cornerbacks like Sauce Gardner, like what we've seen from Jalen Ramsey in past seasons. Yeah, those are better cornerbacks than Diggs. So I didn't have a problem with the 8 ranking. But like you mentioned, I did have a problem with Gilmore being above Diggs. Not necessarily, like, I don't hate it. Sure, yeah, I love having two top 10 cornerbacks. But in my mind, Gilmore's no longer a top 10 cornerback in the NFL. I don't even think he's really close. I don't know
if
I'd
want to
put
him
in like the, yeah,
maybe
but,
10, but like I definitely would not put him above Diggs in my mind. Like, I thought that was crazy.
Like, yeah, people, like, he left off guys like Tariq Woolen, friend of the show. He left off like Marlon Humphrey. I was like, it's interesting that they view Gilmore this highly because, like, I love it. I love having two top 10 cornerbacks, but like, if I'm being honest, I don't even think I have Gilmore in like top 15, top 20. Mm.
So would you, so you said you're comfortable with Diggs at 8.
Would
Yeah. I mean, I'm probably a slightly higher. Like, I always talk about Dak. I think Dak's squarely in the 7 to 10 range. If you ask me, I see Trayvon Diggs in the 5 to 7 range and like more close to 5, right? I think that he could be a top 5 guy. I mean, 11 interceptions followed up by not as crazy numbers, but better technically last year in 2022, still a Pro Bowl cornerback, cleaned up a lot of the things that a publication like Pro Football Focus was giving him a lot of grief for. And I think overall, he just played a better brand of football last year. So I think Trayvon Diggs, his best is still yet to come.
Oh, I completely agree. And when I said I was comfortable with Diggs at 8, that was more of like, I wasn't disappointed in the ranking, less that I agree with it. If I had to, I think Diggs might be in inside my top five, and that might just be the Cowboys bias coming out in me. But when you look at when he had to line up against guys like Ja'Marr Chase, when he had to line up against guys like Justin Jefferson, and it was just pure, I'm not going to ball hawk this, I'm just going to cover them. Trayvon Diggs shuts them down. And yeah. So, yeah, to me, Diggs, when he needs, when he's not going for the interceptions, which, by the way, is a huge momentum changer that, like, please keep going for interceptions. We need that ball hawking ability, and it's the staple of the Dan Quinn defense. But when he's just has to line up against and play tight coverage, he does that with the best. So, right. Yeah, I think he'd be inside my top five.
And my whole thing with Trayvon Diggs is, and, you know, there isn't enough time in the world to kind of have this conversation, but the Cowboys are polarizing beyond belief, right? On the national global stage, the Dallas Cowboys are a phenomenon. Like, it's crazy. And I think that hurts our players. I think the people that we root for, they get scrutinized a lot more than a lot of other teams and are a lot of players. So I think when Trayvon Diggs, his negatives are going to be shout from the rooftops a lot more than his positives will. And I think that's something that Dak Prescott suffers with too. So, you know, for me, I just think that Trayvon Diggs is better than maybe he's nationally perceived. And I do blame, you know, Pro Football Focus for that narrative that was in 2021. So,
yep.
I think if he has another year this year, you know, whether he gets paid or not this offseason, if he can go out there and just kind of put a statement season together and think about it, right? And this is kind of my whole point was, you remember how, like, I was having conversations with people after the playoff game. They were like, well, Trayvon Diggs doesn't like to tackle, or he's not aggressive. I'm like, why are we having this conversation about Trayvon Diggs when, like, everyone knows that, like, this, what he is and what cornerbacks are? Let's be real. There's a handful of guys that like getting their nose dirty, but he covers, he breaks passes up, he intercepts the ball. And now you're saying, oh, he should have lit George Kittle up. You know what I mean? Like, over the middle, it's like, please leave me alone with that. And I just think it's maybe a Cowboys bias that probably isn't fair on how we grade and look at these guys that wear a star on the helmet.
I completely agree. Like, the whole tack, like the Trayvon Diggs doesn't like to tackle thing. Like, yeah, you can kind of see it, and I kind of see where you're coming from. But at the same time, how big is, like, hitting hard? Like, how much are we weighing that into a quarterback's criteria? Because corners, like, if they have to tackle, they did something wrong. It means they allowed a pass. Diggs does not have to tackle a lot because he does not allow a lot of passes.
No. And you know, before we wrap it up and get to our next segment, I encourage people who are on TikTok, I encourage everybody to look up the Austin Eckler thing. Did you hear about that?
No.
Austin Eckler was talking about Trayvon Diggs and saying it was the hardest he's ever been hit in an NFL game was from Trayvon Diggs. So
really,
look it up. I saw it came across my timeline, and he said that, like, Trayvon Diggs put a shoulder into him, hit him right under the chin, and he said it was the hardest he's ever been hit. So, you know, I think some of these narratives can get a little crazy and a little kooky, and I think that's one of them. So, cornerbacks aren't paid to be these all world tacklers. They're paid to be all world cornerbacks, and that's what Trayvon Diggs is. So, that is good conversation. Trayvon Diggs there. Hopefully he gets that done. I'm in the camp that, you know, the sooner the better. I think you feel the same way with that.
Agreed.
But on to the next positive feeling. And now, listen, First and 10 podcast today, a lot of positive things to look at. And, you know, one of them that we're going to talk about is Tony Pollard saying himself that he's slightly ahead of schedule and feels faster. Are you buying that? Do you think that's real, or do you think that's just, hey, best shape of my life season right now?
I'm not buying that he feels faster. To me, that seems like a little bit of a stretch. Like, what in what world would you just rebound fast?
Bionic,
like,
ankle?
What's the movie? Is that Rookie of the Year? Where the kid...
Yeah, he gets the arm fixed? Yeah, Roland Garner?
Yeah, okay. We're not in Rookie of the Year world, so I'm not buying the faster. But the fact that he's on pace to make training camp to me is huge, because what we've seen is that players that enter training camp hurt. It's not necessarily that they're going to, like, they get healthy for the season, but you need that training camp to, like Pollard's doing, start trusting that leg again, start working out with the team, getting those simulated reps that you're going to see week one. So we really underestimate how valuable it is to enter training camp healthy. And so, like, a couple years ago when Dak wasn't healthy during, like, that turned into a real thing, and you saw him get injured in week six that year. And I know it wasn't the same injury by any means, but, like, it's just really helpful to enter training camp healthy and to get those reps with the team. So to me, this is, it's not non-news to me. Like, this is, it's great that he's going to be healthy for training camp.
I totally agree. And, you know, to add on to that, he actually elaborated that he's cleared to go. They're just being smart. So, yeah. Like, he could, if they had to, he could go out there and be full pad, but we know they don't do that for the OTAs anyway. So, it's might as well just get the mental reps and not put him through something that's going to, you know, really hinder him. But, you know, Tony Pollard, here's a question I kind of want to piggyback off of that, too, is how do you feel about him being the main guy? I don't think he's ever been the main guy, even back in the college. What was it, like Daryl Henderson in Memphis? Like, yeah. He's always had, like, a 1-2 punch, like, this is his real first chance to, you know, again, he's in a rookie year again. I mean, excuse me, a contract year again with it being a franchise tag. So do you buy into Tony Pollard being the main guy? Is this like something that like we're going to get the best out of him? Or do you think there's a chance that maybe he doesn't arise to the occasion?
I do. I worry about two things. Number one is I think we're dismissing the fact, not like we as in me and you, but I think Cowboys Nation is largely dismissing the fact that he is returning from an injury this year. So I know he says he feels faster, but there is a world where we see a slower version of Pollard because it was what was the official injury? Was it like
a broken tibia?
Broken with an ankle, tibula. Yeah,
like a high ankle sprain with like a broken tibia, I believe.
Like there's a world exists where we see a slower version of Pollard, especially as he starts aging a little bit. Now, I'm not saying Tony Pollard's going to be broken and he's going to turn into an unusable running back, but I do think we have to, like, that's one thing that makes me raise my eyebrows. The second thing is I trust Tony Pollard to be heavily involved. I don't trust him. Not that I don't trust him. I don't know how well he's going to handle getting all the carries all the time, because I mean, we saw it last year. He did admit to getting gassed and like, and we overblew that a little bit, but like, you're right. I don't know if he can be like between the tackles, 20 touches a game type of guy. Like, we haven't seen that over the course of a full season. So like, I believe he can do it. And I believe Tony Pollard's gonna be a good running back this year. But if we're looking at two things that make me raise my eyebrows, it would be those two things.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's fair to have these questions, and two things can be true at once, where we're really excited that Tony Pollard is back, right? He's here for another year. He's explosive. He's one of our best offensive weapons. No denying that. But also in the pit of my stomach, I'm a little nervous to see what he does off the injury. We've seen guys, you know, obviously his injury, you're not minimizing anything. There's been more serious injuries, right? There's guys like Michael Gallup who've had more serious injuries who couldn't find it this year, right? This is Tony Pollard's, like, one shot as the main guy before he ends up somewhere else. So the Cowboys sign him to a long-term deal, however that shakes out. So I'm holding my breath a little bit collectively saying like, man, I would love to see it. I would love to see that first time he hits the edge and he goes for 30. You know what I mean? I really want to see that. I think we need to see that. But if that is the case, then I can buy into what he's saying. Now, I want to believe it. You know, I'm drinking the blue Kool-Aid. I want to believe what he's saying is true. But, you know, do you take his word for it here? Or do you think that's more so like, hey, listen, I'm supremely confident. I'm Tony Pollard. Don't you know I'm like the best guy in the world? So do you think it's some of that talk, or do you actually think it's real?
I mean, if we do want encouragement, we could follow what the Cowboys have done. Like, just follow the money. And that's almost always in terms of the NFL. If you want truth, don't listen to coaches, don't listen to GMs, don't listen to players, just follow the money. If we follow the money, I mean, the Cowboys invested what, a bet minimum contract in Ronald Jones, and then they spend a 6-round pick on a running back. Like, that's not heavy investment. They know where Tony Pollard's at. They've known where Tony Pollard is at the entire offseason. They knew where Tony Pollard was at during the draft. They knew where Tony Pollard was at during the free agency. And yet they haven't done much at the running back position. That tells me that the team's very confident that they can rely on him to be a 20-touch type of guy this year. So, I mean, maybe I'm concerned for nothing, because if we follow what the Cowboys have done and we follow the money, they trust Tony Pollard this year.
That's an excellent point. That's an excellent point, because, you know, if Tony Pollard isn't who they think he is, then you got a serious like question mark at running back that I don't think a lot of people are prepared for. So I think that isn't a well said, well thought out thing there. My question, I have a second question off of that. We'll stay in the running back room here. I wrote an article. I believe it. So if I say it, I mean it. Do you believe in Ronald Jones as being the number two? Or do you think, I mean, we had this conversation a little bit. Do you think he's kind of going to go to the wayside, or are you in the Jones camp with me?
I don't believe in Ronald Jones personally. At least watching his time in Tampa Bay, where I didn't really, that did not inspire me that much in terms of what he did on the field. But I will say, I do think Ronald Jones could be very useful in short yardage situations. We've talked about this with Tony Pollard's size. He's not like he's really good about if you need 1 yard, he can probably dance around and get to the edge and make some magic for 1 yard. But if you're talking about like between the tackles, we just need 1 yard. That's Ronald Jones' job, unless you're going to give it to Hunter Lubecki. Is that how you pronounce the last name?
Yeah, Hunter. That sounds about right.
All right, yeah. Unless you want to give it to the fullback, that's going to be Ronald Jones' job.
Yeah, my whole thing is, right, and I don't know if you saw my tweet. Did you see the tweet I put up with the Derrick Henry and Aaron Jones numbers?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so, and I know the sample size, they get the football a lot more than Ronald Jones has in his career. So I understand that. Take it with a grain of salt. Ronald Jones has 7 fumbles in his entire career, okay? And he gets labeled as a guy who fumbles the ball a lot. And comparatively speaking, I think he's touched the ball 582 times, and he's had 7 fumbles. How many fumbles do you think Derrick Henry had just last year?
Do you have the touches number for Derrick Henry?
His like touches
or
I think
ballparkish? Because I know he was injured.
Threes. Yeah, I think it was.
Okay, so 300.
I think it was in threes, but I can double check that.
All right, then I'm gonna say, I mean, without the preface, I would have said 1-0. I don't know. Didn't.
And what about Aaron Jones? What do you think Aaron Jones had for fumbles? And you know he gets the ball a lot, but they get AJ Dillon there last year alone.
Aaron Jones, another guy that I don't see his fumble like the guy. I don't know. 2-3
Aaron. So Derrick Henry had 6 fumbles last year alone.
And
whoa. Aaron Jones had 5 in 2022 alone. So Ronald Jones, smaller sample size, has 7 in a career, right? And Aaron Jones and Derrick Henry, who agree, we all know has much more volume, can do that in a season, but they don't get talked about in the same light. So I think it's not fair to label somebody like that. And do you know how old Ronald Jones is? He's been in the league like 5 years. Do you know how old he is?
I would assume 25.
He's
25.
No, he's 25.
25? Okay.
He's 25. So think about that. Okay, he came in the league at 20. He's not old. My man still got 5 seasons before he's even in his 30th year. So I don't believe in the Ronald Jones write-off, and I'm not saying you do, but there's been pushback with the fan base that, like, Ronald Jones is who he is. This is what he is. He's not going to do that. Pacheco took his job, you know, and Jerick McKinnon's going to take his job. Like, no, those guys just worked perfectly with what they were doing in Kansas City, and, yeah, he just didn't fit to that mold. And when he was in Tampa Bay with Tom Brady before Leonard Fournette really got his feet, like, Ronald Jones was doing his thing. You know what I mean? He had like 900 rushing yards. Like, we don't need that from him. But if we got a little bit, I think the 1-2 punch could be there.
I'm in on the Ronald Jones as the running back. I don't know. I still am. Ronald Jones to me is the most difficult player on this Cowboys roster to get a read on, because if he's running back 2 week 1, that wouldn't surprise me one bit. If he's camp fodder and he gets cut, that also wouldn't surprise me one bit either. So it's just like, I'm having a really difficult time getting a read on who Ronald Jones is going to be for this offense. But like you said, I mean, we're talking about a former starting running back, and like, that's not a bad guy to bring on your team. There's a lot worse players, older players specifically. You bring up the youth, he still has his legs. He didn't really get many touches in Kansas City, so it's not like he was getting worn down by that offense. Didn't get a lot in Tampa Bay either. So like 500 touches,
118 carries in the last 2 years combined.
Yeah, so he's played 4 years. He's a 4-year vet. This will be his 5th year. So I mean, yeah, that's, like I said, if he's the running back 2 and he surprises us at times next year, that wouldn't surprise me one bit. I mean, when the signing went in initially came out, I was like, oh, that's a camp fodder guy who's just going to get cut. But I mean, yeah, I think it's talking to you. The conversations with you is changing my mind about who Ronald Jones is going to be for this team.
Well, you know, I'll wrap this up before we kind of switch gears here. But for me, I look at the way I look at Ronald Jones is I'm looking at the room as a whole. Now it's Tony Pollard fresh off an injury and then a bunch of question marks. Like, Deuce Vaughn to me can be used and he can be a weapon for this team, but he's not the guy who's going to spell Tony Pollard for a series or two when he needs a blow. You're not going to give the 5'5", 180 pound guy the carry between the tackles on first and 10. You know what I mean? And then Malik Davis, who everyone loves, and Rico Dow, who everyone seems to forget about, two guys that, you know, Malik Davis, when Tony Pollard got hurt, They didn't let him get a single touch in that 49ers game. You know what I mean? So read the tea leaves. Now, I know it's a new year, but how they feel about those guys is probably not as high as maybe the fan base is. So Ronald Jones is a guy who's had carries, who's had production, who's played the game at a high level at some points. And I think what hurts him more than anything is recency bias, right? The people look at the Kansas City time, they look at the numbers, and they don't really dive into the situation or the fit. And on top of all that, if it matters, and it may not mean anything to anybody, Ronald Jones is from Texas. He's back home. There may be a comfort level with a fresh start, and who knows, they might get the best out of him.
I mean, like, I'm buying into everything you're selling here. I mean, if he ends up as running and a productive running back too, like 100 to probably not 200 this year, but like 100 to 150 touches in this offense, I wouldn't be surprised at all. My question, one thing that you brought up, Rico Dowdle. So this is, I guess, going to be our weekly Rico Dowdle talk. I hear he had a great OTA. Like, from what I'm hearing, he looked good at OTAs. My question for you, if Rico Dowdle ends up getting cut, how is that going to send you into a tailspin, or are you mentally prepared for Rico Dowdle to potentially get cut if that's the case? And like I said, he had a good OTA, so it doesn't, he still has, it's not like he's guaranteed to get cut.
I've been met with so much pushback about Ronald Jones. I might trade my fandom and be riding the Ronald Jones train. No, but no, seriously, like, I said it last year. You remember when they had Shumpkin from Harvard last year?
Oh, yeah.
And there were like five running backs that like people felt really good about making 53-man rosters. Like, we don't know how this is going to be configured for the Cowboys, but if Rico Dowdle's on a 53 and Malik Davis on a 53 and neither of them a year, I honestly wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, yeah, to me, that is the running back room, the most difficult room to put outside of Tony Pollard.
It's going to be fun.
Would you be like, okay, so I guess we can wrap this up. Outside of Pollard, give me your percentage chances that each of the remaining running backs makes the roster. Pollard's obviously 100%.
Wow. So Pollard's 100%. I would put Deuce Vaughn in like the 95%, right? So
There's
two. I think there's three. I think there's four guys fighting for one, maybe two more spots. And that's Hunter Lepke. You know, there's Ronald Jones, Malik Davis, and Rico Dowdle. I think if Ronald Jones solidifies his job, that means Malik and Rico are gone. So I think the best thing that can happen for Malik and Rico is that Ronald Jones isn't who I think he is. So I would put Ronald Jones at 70% he makes the team, and I would put Malik and Rico Dowdle at about 35-40% chance they make it. With, I think Connor Lepke is probably higher than 50% too, because of what he brings uniqueness wise.
Yeah, I'll do this off the top of my head. So if anybody's trying to add up these percentages, don't double check my math on this. But I'd say I think I have Deuce a little bit lower. I'm gonna say Deuce at 75-80. I do think a world exists where we need to prioritize size a little bit more. And I still think Deuce making teams. So 75-80 for Deuce. I'd say Ronald Jones. I'm going to put Ronald Jones at 50%. Like I said, it wouldn't surprise me either way. So I'm going to say 50% for Ronald Jones.
A true coin toss for you.
Yeah, exactly. Hunter Lepke, I'm putting Hunter Lepke at like 75%. Like you said, you're likely going to walk into the season with a fullback, especially considering you're down running backs comparatively this year without that Zeke Pollard combo that you had. So Hunter Lepke, 75%. Then Malik and Rico, I'm going to put them both at like 30%. And I'm sure those percentages don't add up, but that's what I'll give it.
It's all right. I mean, I like that. I think the running back room is going to be super exciting to watch. I think it's going to be one of my favorite training camp battles. But, you know, honestly, as I pivot and try to segue to a new segment here, this battle that we're about to talk about here is going to get more looks. If, you know, I think it's going to be a lot more detrimental to see how this figured out. And with that being said, Matt, well, let's go getting guard looks, which I did not have on my bingo board. You know, I didn't. I thought Matt, well, let's go with somebody who's definitely figured into the tackle world. What is Aiden Davis's initial thoughts to hear that Matt Letzko was out there at left guard? What?
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
This is two reasons why this is happening to me. And I really hope it's reason A. So reason A is that they just believe in the talent of Matt Wiletzko. They don't necessarily see him working at tackle. So it's like Chauncey Golston moving to defensive tackle. It's like, we see the talent there. We just don't think you're going to work at defensive end. So let's move you interior and let's see if you can provide value there. So maybe that's what they're doing. It's like, Matt Wiletzko, let's see how you're working at guard because we want you to be part of this team, but maybe tackle's not the reason or the position we need you at. That's the first option, the first reason why this could be happening. To me, B is that it seems like they're kind of scrambling at guard now. And like Terrence Steele, we're hearing rumblings that like that's still a possibility he could move to guard. Obviously, Tyler Smith, you don't know if he's going to be playing guard this season. Now they're moving Matt Wiletzko at guard. It's like, okay, left guard, clearly they don't have it figured out, and they are considering all possible combinations and possibilities. Like, why? Why are you scrambling so hard at guard? And that's just, to me, a failure to address that over the offseason. Chuma Doga wasn't enough. And I know there's a 0% chance Matt Wiletzko is the starting guard week one, but the fact that you're scrambling to like, okay, who's even our backup? That would be a red flag if that is the reason he's at guard.
So you presented two options. Which one do you think is more realistic, A or B? Like, what do you think is actually the case?
I think it's A. I think they just want to see what he can do at guard, see if that positional flexibility is there. But
is that because he's not good enough at tackle in your mind?
Yeah, in my mind.
We have a disagreement.
Really?
Yes.
You've seen enough to like have
confidence? I like Matt
Wiletzko.
No, really? No. He's. I'm going to say this clearly. Or try to be as clear as I can. Matt Wiletzko is like the fourth option at tackle, but I think he is an option. He's better than Josh Ball.
I agree on that.
You know what I mean? I think that the five offensive linemen is going to be Tyron Smith and Tyler Smith, the left guard, left tackle and left guard. I think that's how they're going to go. Tyron Smith. If Tyron Smith gets hurt, so our two tackles will be Tyron Steele and it'll be Tyron Smith. If Tyron Smith gets hurt, then they go to option tackle number three, which would be Tyler Smith, the left tackle. If Tyler Smith gets hurt, then we'll see Matt Wiletzko. So I think he's the fourth option at tackle, but I don't think that's because he's bad. I think it's because they got the Swiss Army knife that can play both inside and outside of Tyler Smith. And with the new offensive line in the room, I think they just want to see who can do what. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? I think, and you remember, and we had talked about, I believe we talked about it last week, Tyler Smith didn't play a single lick of tackle in training camp, right? He was a college tackle who was getting all his reps at left guard, and then Tyron Smith gets hurt, 9-10 days before the first game of the year, and now he's a left tackle. I think they're comfortable with his position flex, that they're like, let's see what these other guys can do. Let's keep getting you tackle reps. We know what you can do on the inside. So I don't know. Maybe that's just my like different view on it. Maybe.
Do you think, are you in any way concerned about, and we talked about this a little bit last week, are you at all concerned about the fact that we haven't even heard Chuma Edoga's name at all? It's like,
it is funny, huh?
I think the team almost is like, it's at least to me, if I'm reading the tea leaves, like, I don't think Chuma Edoga is going to make this the 53-man roster based off the fact that I haven't heard a single whisper about him yet through OTAs.
Yeah, I haven't heard his name one time. Not even one time. So, Matt Barniak. Matt, well, let's go. Josh Ball. Like, we've heard
literally everybody other than Chuma Edoga. Yep.
100%. I totally agree with you.
And so to me, that almost is giving credibility to like the second option I presented, where it's like, oh no, the one player we signed on the offensive line this offseason isn't working out. Time to just throw the kitchen sink at it.
Do you think they could come to that conclusion in OTAs with no pads though?
Probably not, but like, why have we not heard a lick of news from Chuma Edoga? Like, I don't get it.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
You know, I will say, as a brother of a guy who played in the NFL at offensive line, and you're looking through Twitter trying to find information, nobody cares about offensive line play unless it's a problem. You know what I mean? So Chuma Edoga, for all we know, is just doing his job. And because he's not making waves, it's probably because he's just doing what he's supposed to do. But it's not sexy. You know, talking about offensive line play is not a sexy conversation. So, but you're totally right. Like, me and you are on the pulse of this. Like, we cover this team. We talk about this team. We write about this team. Chuma Edoga, there's got to be like a missing person out there for this. Like, he is not being discussed in the Dallas media whatsoever.
Yeah. And I mean, we're probably making a mountain out of, at least I might be making a mountain out of a molehill because, I mean, we're talking about Chuma Edoga. It's not like any of us expected him to be it's not like we signed an all pro with that free agency move, but I'm with you. It's just very odd to like, we've seen every possible player playing guard over this offseason outside of the one guard that we signed.
Yeah. It's one of those things where like, you kind of look at the Cowboys and you're like, there's gotta be more to it, right? It can't be just this simple that like, to me, I look at them, like, all right, they're giving everybody a crack at it, right? Oh, you think you're a guard, or you think you're a tackle? Okay, you think you can snap the ball? Like, let's get a look here. And I with the new offensive line coach, I think there's merit to that. There's no pads. I know they're taking it down a notch because Mike McCarthy and the staff had been fined for their aggressiveness in the OTAs in the years past. But I don't know. I think it's something worth monitoring. And I also think, you know, kind of wrap up this section or this topic here. I think that they're overthinking it. I think the answer is already figured out. Like Tyler Smith's career isn't going to go off the rails if he's the 2023 left guard. They'll be fine. He's got talent. He's cerebral. He's a smart kid. He can figure out the position. He played all through college. You're not going to ruin this guy's mechanics in his career if he plays left guard for one more season.
Agreed.
Or one season at all.
Yeah. But here's my question to you. Seeing as how good Tyler Smith was last year in his rookie year at tackle, and knowing that tackle is more valuable than guard, is there any thought process in your mind that's like, let's just make Tyler Smith the full-time tackle, and so we have one? Like, because Tyron Smith's career is coming to an end. Eventually, you're going to have to address that you have a hole at tackle. Terrence Steele looks to be like he can be a long-term solution, but I think the jury's kind of still out on Terrence Steele. As in terms of if he's a long-term guy, do you just say, no, we don't want to mess around with the tackle position. Let's make Tyler Smith left tackle now. Or like, is it more of like you mentioned where let's let him have that flexibility knowing that he can switch at any time.
Well, it's funny to me because people always talk about don't mess with the continuity of an offensive line. Like, let's not play musical chairs. But the Cowboys have been doing crazy things with their offensive line for the whole Mike McCarthy era, really. When Joe Philbin was here, they were mixing it up like crazy. Yeah. So I don't think that the Cowboys subscribe to that way of thinking, which is fine by me if you're going to find the best five. And they always talk about the best five. In my world, if Tyron Smith is here, Tyron Smith figures into the best five. To me,
I agree. He's
in the best five. I think the X factor of all of this is the health of Terrence Steele for 2023. If Terrence Steele is healthy and he's your right tackle, the conversation on the left side is a very easy one for me. If he's not ready for week one, that's when there's got to be some Jenga and some Tetris being played on the offensive line.
One last question for you about the offensive line. There was a report that apparently Tyron's feeling better than he has in a long time. We're hearing that he's apparently quicker. And is that like Tony Pollard? Is it just player speak, or is there any part of you that's buying into the Tyron's going to be different in 2023? He's going to be back.
I hate to say this because I have such respect for the guy. Like, injured guys stay injured. So, yeah. Like, I'm going to have to see it to believe it. I would love for that to be true because I think we all know Tyron's a mountain of a man who is a physical specimen. His body seems to fail him more than anything. So if he can stay healthy, I'll believe that. I don't need him to be in the best shape of his life. I just need him to stay healthy because a healthy Tyron Smith is just fine.
Yeah, I mean, a healthy Tyron Smith is still a Pro Bowl tackle. I'd still put, like, when he's on the field, last year was a little bit of an anomaly because he was playing out of his element. But yeah, Tyron Smith, when he's healthy, and for what we've seen, still Pro Bowl tackle. I'm with you though. Father Time's undefeated, so I'll take that bet over player speak.
Yeah, I totally agree. And the last topic will probably be a quick one. We'll wrap it up. We're post June now. We're June 1st cut. All the money you get reaped from the benefit of the Ezekiel Elliott releasing. We're now, as we record this, June 4th, as you're hearing this, June 5th. The Cowboys have about $20 million in cap space. They know that they use this for in-season signings. They know this. They have contracts. We talked about at the top of the show with Trayvon Diggs, CeeDee Lamb. They're going to need to sign, you know, just X, Y, and Z. They need money in reserves. With that being said, they have like a top 5 or 6 money in the league right now. Yeah. Do you see another move pre-training camp? Is it a kicker? Is it something else? Or is this all the things that we know and are predictable at this point for this team?
So I think if I had to bet on what's going to happen, I'd say it's likely going to be a few small guys. Like you said, a kicker, maybe, like, I don't know, maybe another backup offensive lineman going to the discussion we just had. Maybe it's a small name wide receiver, like a guy that might compete to be the 5th, 6th, 5th, 6th receiver on the roster. And I'm not predicting that we're going to get a CD or Trayvon contract, but love it. But I think that's what they're going to do. And I think they'll walk into the season knowing that Trayvon, CD are coming up. So they're just going to save that cap until next year when they need it.
Yeah, I don't have any grand illusions of that they're going to do something big here. It's good to have the money if you need to. Things happen. Injuries happen. So you need that little bit of money. I actually do, and we talked about it. We disagreed a couple times, which makes the show fun. I do think that Trayvon gets done before the season. I think there's smoke, there's a little bit of fire there. I think it would make sense. I think it would make more sense to do CeeDee Lamb, but the conversation seems to be about Trayvon Diggs, so I'm going to follow that smoke there. But $20 million is $20 million. There's names floating around, DeAndre Hopkins, blah, blah, blah. Would be fun, would be interesting, would make our shows a lot more funny or a lot more fun in that sense, but I don't believe that anything too crazy is going to happen here for the Dallas Cowboys.
So the report came out that apparently the Cowboys are out on DeAndre Hopkins. I don't think any Cowboys fans is surprised by that. Yeah, of course we're not going. My question to you, why is there any justification for 2023? The Cowboys are a contending team. They are if you can call them Super Bowl contenders, you can call them borderline. So like, they're a team that most people have them in their top 5, top 6 teams in the NFL. Is there any, like, why wouldn't you make a run at DeAndre Hopkins if you have $20 million? Is it the fact that DeAndre is going to need multiple years on whatever contract he signs and you're not going to be able to afford that? Or what's the justification?
I don't think there is one. I think that when you talk to the Cowboys, I think more than anybody, any team in the league, we hear about it's a running joke. We like our guys. How many times do we hear that? Like, and even when Mike McCarthy, like, quote unquote, shut down the DeAndre Hopkins talk, he's like, we like our room. We like the development. We like what we have there. And that's great coach speak. But at the end of the day, like, if your fourth wide receiver can be Michael Gallup and you add DeAndre Hopkins to the mix, like, there is teams that are going to make those calls or they're going to make those moves. You're right. If this is our window, go out shooting, man. Go out shooting. I think the Cowboys, I'm not saying they're going to sign DeAndre. I'm not even saying that they, like, I'm advocating for it. But, like, if you think you can make an above-the-top move that's probably out of character, I'm all on board for it.
My thing is like, if DeAndre Hopkins is looking for 3-4 years, like I said, Diggs is coming up. It's coming up. Parsons will eventually come up. You're not going to be able to afford DeAndre Hopkins if he wants 3-4 years. But if the contract, whatever contract DeAndre Hopkins ends up signing, if it's announced as a 1-year deal for like 17, 18, 19, 20 million, even, I will lose it. Cause that's like, why wouldn't you do that?
But NFL contracts too are such funny money where you can like, you know, it's $2 million base with a $16 million signing bonus or incentives. And so, yeah, like the cap is the most real myth alive. Like it's real, but it's a myth where you like, oh my God, it's such a hard thing. No, teams have very smart front office guys who can make magic happen with money. If you want somebody, I'm willing to bet. Look at the New Orleans Saints, man. Yeah, it's crazy. So, yeah, if the Cowboys want anything in the world, they can do it. And so I'm not going to sit here and believe the most profitable sports. Did you see that, by the way? We didn't talk about it, but Cowboys are the most profitable sports team in the world. I don't think
it was like $1.1 billion a year, right?
And the next closest was $600 million. It was the Patriots. Yeah. So they almost doubled, or they did double how much the other next team did. So, yeah, that team, the Dallas Cowboys, they can sign anybody they want. I'm sorry. Like, I'm not going to sit here and believe that they got to count their pennies and they're hurting. So, with that being said, that's probably wraps up our last segment here. Any last thoughts from you, Aiden?
Yeah. Based off that conversation, NFL, get rid of the salary cap. Let the Dallas Cowboys let the Dallas Cowboys be 20-time Super Bowl champions and we'll move on.
You know how bad it would be if they did have that and the Cowboys didn't win a Super Bowl? We'd be getting killed for that. No, so you're right.
So they get rid of it and Jerry Jones still just is like, we like our guys. Let's go development.
Yeah. You know what? I think we have enough talent. Yeah, no. Yeah. No, but that is it today for another First and 10 episode here. Brought to you by Blogging the Boys, powered by SB Nation. As always, Tony Catalina and Aiden Davis. I hope you guys have a great rest of your weekend. I will catch you next week. Peace.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.